It's about time we get started again on another topical issue. Yeah, every week we talk COVID, and that's because we're not having enough conversation around COVID. The disbeliefs, the misinformation, the policies, everything seem not to be improving at all. And that's why we would continue to talk about it until we start seeing visible changes in all of these areas. All right. I have with me a public health physician of many decades under his belt, Dr. Tui Mebaodun. He joins me live in the studio this morning. Good morning to you, Dr. Tui.
Good morning, Sheriff. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's good to have you here. You're a very hard man to track now, you know. You're very, very busy.
We're observing social distance. You have to hide inside your hood.
I know. But how has it been really with COVID and everything?
Oh, quite challenging. It's more challenging because, one, this is the first time I'm seeing a new dimension in terms of evolution of diseases. Now, before, we used to think that once a germ enters somebody, it causes disease, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Then we move to the model of multiple causes of diseases, environment, germs. Now, we're seeing misinformation, disinformation, falsehood, driving the numbers we're seeing. So now it becomes important for a public health people now or policymaker to think in that terms, that how do we deal with misinformation? How do we deal with disinformation? How do we touch and make sure the doubters don't become the dominant discourse?
Are we doing enough
in public space
to address that?
Obviously, we're not doing enough. What we have seen, the main thing driving this pandemic you're seeing is, lack or deficient communication.
Oh.
Not just on health, on every area of Nigeria, so many things. What we now pander to is actually social media, doubters. But again, we must not lose the public space.
Right.
Because let's face it, the doubters will always be with us. We can't run away from doubters.
If
you look at the narration here and there, it has been the people that are educated, even from the so-called advanced country.
You're right on that one.
It's not about color. It's not about level of education. It's not about even your religious or whatever thing.
Yeah.
The doubters will always be with us.
Mm.
Because all the people that are driving this conspiracy theories,
Right from the beginning of this pandemic.
Yes.
Right from the beginning.
They are not even from my village.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
You see them.
Educated. Enlightened.
People that you see, some of them are even sitting in the big institutions, sitting in the law-making environment in this so-called advanced country.
Right.
And they just push those information around. And we pick it, hook, line, and sinker, and reproduce it here with add-ons. By the time it gets here, the thing gets blown out and all sorts of stories start flying around. So because we've not looked at that direct, at that concrete part of information dissemination, of fighting epidemics or pandemic, we lost a huge milestone. They took over. When they took over, they started down narrating all sorts of things to us. It became difficult for government to grab the public space. That we must not lose hope. Because if we now choose to lose hope and we see the environment to them, it will be negative narration affecting the health system, affecting us, causing more death, even than the so-called pandemic.
You know, before this show, we spoke about this issue of how to having to say the same things over and over and over again, trying to enlighten people, trying to tell people that this thing is real, this thing is dangerous, this COVID thing is not joking at all. And still people are holding on to that thing that they had heard from the beginning. And they're saying that, you know, they kill now. Wait till they talk. Come to my market in this thing. You go see people there. Nobody, they wear masks. And whenever I hear say one marketer, one trader, don't die for my yard. People don't believe that it exists. And for some weird reasons, we're not, people, especially in the rural, maybe semi-urban areas, are not, they may be falling sick, but they don't believe that they do, they're having COVID. Let me give you an example, Dr. Tui. A friend of mine called me and he's he spoke to me about, you know, coming down with the malaise, and he went to the hospital, and the doctor said, okay, you have typhoid. Oh, these are the symptoms. Okay, you have typhoid. Then when we were talking, and I said, guy, I've not seen you. What's in the album? And he told me that he's been down. I said, okay, that's fine. And something else occurred to me. Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you experience loss of taste or, you know, smell and everything? And he said, yes, yes. I said, guy, go back to that doctor and tell him that this is part of, these are the symptoms that you have. And it went back. The doctor said, oh, I'm so sorry, you have COVID, actually. We can't run tests now because we don't have the PCR, this thing, but let's treat you. Let's give you some really medications that can augment the symptoms that you have and manage it for you. It's better now, though. So my problem is, do people have enough information at their disposal? Even though we're saying it every day, Dr. Tuyi, do they still have enough information as to when you have these symptoms, when you have that symptom, then you have possibly, you may just be dealing with COVID? Do we know all of these things? Do people know?
Tell you what, I think honestly, you know, what drives my own thinking and my own deduction is actually my background of science. Okay? I can tell you categorically that we're not saying enough. We're not showing enough. We're not communicating in different modes as much as possible. Well, because what has happened is that, you see, there are influencers. I'm not talking about social media, you know. I don't consider they can only influence those ones they want to influence. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about genuine people you look up to. At a level, it could be your community leader. Okay. It could be your king or your upper.
Your religious leader.
Your religious leader. It could, you know,
those your CDC chairman, your CDC, all of those people.
There are people you look up to. I actually, we should have a situation whereby we devolve those information communication to the lowest level as possible. Whereby, you know, how do I buy, for instance, how do I buy my religious leader to flow into this conversation that COVID is real? He may say that, this thing is not there, but I'll just say, listen, wear this mask so that you don't allow people to give you the virus if it is real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you're going to, you know, you have
just
it.
Just wait, so that you, in case.
People that are running around, they don't give you that virus. Just so you must learn which aspect of that thing you want to accentuate and how to communicate it in what form. And you must also measure your communication. Right. Because, you see, it's key that you communicate, you measure, and look at it. Am I really touching what I'm supposed to do?
Right.
And then you rearrange your communication. For us, I know that communicating health, what I call health literacy, is so, so important, especially in this century,
right,
where massive misinformation is going around, distorting public space. You have to have a concrete mode of communicating proper health behavior, what you need to do, and have to reward good health behavior. It is key. It is key.
Why, when you say reward, what do you mean, Abeg?
Yeah, okay. Now, let me give an instance. We found out that vaccines and spacing of children helps, you know, the woman to live a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, you want to give, let's say, the conditional cash transfer that you're doing. I'm giving that an example.
As an example.
And you say, okay, wait a minute. Have you completed the vaccination of your child? You've done that? Wonderful. Take this thing, support your tailoring business. Because you are not, you know, tying to a behavior. We're just basic human, basic animal.
This needs to be deliberate.
It has to be a deliberate targeting that, have you done this and that? Okay. Now, have you spent, you know, are you part of the people that engage? Do you embrace the family planning?
How many children do you have?
Okay, nice. You know, we have to support you so that you can take care of these children before you get the next. It has to be a deliberate communication. It's not just half a certain that you just throw here and there. You won't get results. You won't get results. Now, it's nice that government is talking about distributing certain amount of money.
Yeah.
Conditioned on what?
Yeah.
Condition on what?
Based on what exactly?
Yes, exactly. So what? How has it helped your good behavior? Okay. So is it because, you know, so now we tend to look at how to punish. You're not wearing face mask. You know, let's go and put you in jail.
Yeah.
Honestly, we that should be a tired process.
Hmm.
We should now engage some really science and intelligence in ensuring that those things we're doing gets to those people we designed them for.
Dr. T, we've talked about how unimpressed we've been with the handling on information. especially from the government side. But here is another thing. Would you say that government is getting fatigued over this COVID thing? Are we getting tired?
Let's tell you what, there's politics of health. One of the greatest challenges of health policy is health politics. Okay? There's health policy of health. Now, we're not into the flow of the policy of health. Well, the virus came, you know, the policy of health. The virus came and we got it.
Yeah.
We know that it requires human resources, it requires funds, it requires, you know, some deliberate attention to get it done.
Right.
Now, this is a situation whereby Nigeria is already having, what we call a very fragile health system, maybe not necessarily health system. We have our own epidemics that are simmering on the ground, different diseases pattern that we're battling with. And then suddenly, as we're thinking about that,
COVID came.
It became a pandemic. You know, and we're just trying to manage the economy.
Even in the middle of COVID, Dr. Tuyi, last year, we were recording very high numbers in terms of Lassa fever.
Lassa fever, yes, yeah. I remember because when COVID was starting, it was a season of Lassa fever.
Exactly.
You know, and then COVID entered. So we're having that kind of double whammy, or let's say multiple whammy. And then now, when COVID came in, you were not prepared. I have always advocated for future fund for epidemic preparedness.
Oh.
We've 5 years, more than 5 years now, the epidemic will come. How are you prepared to deal with the epidemic? Now we got to pandemic. We're having economic challenges. Now misinformation is cropping into the whole thing. So you see a mix of everything, you know, hitting us at the same time. So government couldn't manage, the economy is a challenge for them. All of that diseases like Lassa fever was a challenge for them. Then a pandemic came, information challenges, economy is not moving. It became an issue for them. Initially, you know, probably they thought that the thing was going to just disappear and go away. And we had won. When the case became number three, I told them, this is unstoppable. Guys, you need to really do something. Because if you understand the dynamics of spread of disease, you know that thing was unstoppable. So we said, okay, do something now. Please do something now because we're just having number three. But again, they just assume in our typical magical thinking that don't worry, it will disappear. Yes, God is in control. The blood of this is protecting me. Oh, you know, it's not my portion. So in those kind of magical thinking, we know we slow down and we're not really pushing the thing. And then lo and behold, you saw the dynamics of how the thing led to answers, how the thing led to instability and caused a lot of riots. Even right now as we're talking, there's riots ongoing in Netherlands. You know, people are fighting the lockdown. Seriously. The lockdown is from 9 to 4 a.m. They're still fighting that one. So the world became changed. And then we're not ready to interrogate how to reverse those change, how it becomes important that the weapon of the future is not your artillery, it's not the number of soldiers you have, rather it is the quality of health workers you have that can face this kind of epidemic, that can deliver health to you, that can make sure your country is safe when you are confronted with this kind of thing, and it will come. That can even develop your vaccines and your homegrown intervention when you are faced with this kind of thing. But of course, obviously, the government is fragile. And then they got to a point where they told us that, listen, guys, go and take care of yourself. You have to be isolated. And they started decommissioning all the isolation centers. Obviously, those are telltale signs that, look, we are tired. Those are telltale signs. We are tired.
I'm scared the way you said that. I'm scared right now. When government said, they would not come out and say openly, but with the actions and everything that they show. That's why I asked the question whether you think that government is fatigued, whether you think that they're tired. You know what? I'm going to come to you, Dr. Tuyi, and let's talk about the right solid step you think can be taken. Before we got here, last year, we weren't recording this much of COVID positive samples on a daily basis. Now we are doubling the figures that we recorded last year before we went into lockdown. And it seemed like, y'all can go and do whatever you want to do.
Now,
Is it worrying? Is it troubling that? What would you suggest, Dr.
The figure you're seeing is just actually the tip of an iceberg, because 206 million people, recent estimate, are only 1.2 or 1.3 million tested.
Oh.
Only 1.3 million tested. So we've not gone anywhere. So we're out of that 1.3, we're seeing about 130,000 cases. Mm. Okay. Now that's a huge issue. You don't see what you don't test.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. Now we're having challenges with the testing, right? Rightly so, because how can you now, even if somebody says I want to go and do testing, is it going to cost out 54,000 naira? What's the minimum wage?
I interviewed the NCDC, they said that it's free, that it's testing, testing is free.
Well, how soon do you get the testing done? Well, if you go to their own center.
Yes, that's what they said.
That if you now have to go to the accredited laboratories,
right,
you have to pay that much, you know? So now you have to pay that kind of money to do testing. Now, even after you've done testing, it's just like, wow, what next am I going to do?
Right.
You're at loss. You have a mishmash of all sorts of concussions flying all over the place. Bring water with ginger plus gargle plus this plus this.
All kinds of things.
All kinds of things. And then you are lost in the formation. I've not even seen a systematic approach to the whole thing where government says, listen, guys, this thing will help you. Even from the level of NCDC to see that, or even of state government to see that, this will help you. But they don't neglect, you know, the rest that they are prescribing for you.
Hmm.
Okay, I've not seen that kind of, you know, concrete clear cut in the information in the public space.
Yeah.
So that people can then discard all other negative things. So now we got to that level.
Hmm.
Now we're going to see more of those cases. Don't let us deceive ourselves, because
we'll see more.
Because why, you know. In the midst of this, you are doing NIN wait now.
I'm sorry. We need to go on a quick break. Otherwise, this thing will cut us off. It will cut us off. Lagos will be right back. The tea is just getting started. Stay here with us. We'll be back after this.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're back on the show. 8:31, going on 32. It's time for my studios here. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Dr. T. Mibawadu is here, and we are discussing government handling of COVID-19. That is basically what we are looking at today on the program. You're free to share your thought because we are live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're live on those platforms. And you can also call into the show and let us know what you think about government handling of COVID-19. We'd like to hear your own perspective of how government, you know, has handled, both federal, state, local, have handled the issue of COVID, really. We'd like to know your thought on that one as well. We're also there for you on Twitter. Tweet us at Nigeria Info FM with the hashtag Nigeria Info MCF. And let us know what you think. The WhatsApp portal is also very up and active. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. Dr. Tuyi, again, thank you for coming to the studio today. You were saying something before we went on that break.
Okay. Well, what happened was this. After the first wave, we tried to open the economy gradually.
Right.
Super spreader events happened. The NSAS was a significant one.
Very significant one.
So then we entered the second phase, you know. Mm. People were thinking it was not going to happen. But, of course, the dynamics were there, clear for everybody.
Right.
Now, even while we're battling with those rising numbers,
mm,
government opened NIN centers,
mm,
government opened schools,
yeah,
government care less about the market, how the market is run,
mm,
okay?
Mm.
And then, of course, events. People were holding events.
Please hold on to that thought. Let's bring in Anonymous. We already have him here already. Anonymous, good morning to you.
Hey, Mr. Sheriff.
Morning to you.
Yeah, Mr. Dr. Mibawadu.
Yes.
Akarosa. I will mean like that. please, let me be like that.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, too.
So I have I'm hearing, first time calling into your show, Mr. Sheriff. I've been listening so many times.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you.
So I have an issue at my hand, and thank you for calling me, Dr. Mibawadu. There is an issue of COVID-19 being tested positive.
Okay.
And I was being told, after being tested positive, you cannot be infected again. I think that person cannot infect other people again. then the person should carry on with his or her normal duties, activities.
Okay.
And I was like saying that I'm not sure this is what government says.
Okay.
Okay, let's observe.
Who told you that? Who told you that in the first place?
Up. Oh, God, the top. So okay. I was wondering, I said, I'm not comfortable with this.
Okay.
Now, another person. So, the person has done the COVID test. The result is not yet out.
Okay.
But the siblings, they have already been exposed with the siblings.
Okay.
Still, they are still telling me that the person has already been coming to work. Okay. There's nothing the person can do again.
Hmm.
The person can't infect. We should continue our normal life. I was trying to beg them that let us observe the protocol first. There was nothing. I don't know. If there's any new things, maybe that's what I'm listening to.
Do you work in the public service or in the private sector?
Yes.
In the public service?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, ma. Sheriff,
yeah.
One day we should actually sit down here and pick those myths surrounding COVID.
Yeah.
Because now, tell you what.
I mean, we've done that before severally, but we can do it again together. We should do it again.
It has to be a repeated thing.
We should do it again.
You have to repeat it over and over.
Yes.
Because, you know, now the myth is actually evolving.
Right.
Now, tell you what. The fact that somebody has COVID-19 now does not actually protect the person from having in the next few months or 6 months.
Hmm.
There's no research. Even the vaccine, let's get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
The vaccine was issued under emergency use authorization.
Okay.
Yeah. The data on the vaccine is still being collected.
Hmm.
But again, we have no choice. A disease has come like this, hitting everybody, hitting economy, and then cutting life short. Whatever we can get, we can throw at it to stop its progress.
Hmm.
It's welcome, provided it's not going to add more stress to us.
Right.
So please, if there's no evidence, no scientific evidence to say that once you have COVID, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying that once you have cold, can you still have cold again?
Yeah.
There's no evidence that shows that it confers long life immunity. Hmm. So, this what you still need to do after you must have escaped that. Let's thank God. That's the common phrase in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But you still have to keep yourself
safe.
With those protocols, you know, avoiding crowd until we have a clearer understanding, which will come in future.
Mm.
Okay. So, because even the vaccine now, that Nigeria is bragging that they have 100,000 that is coming today.
Yeah.
100,000 is just for 50,000 people.
Mm.
The protocol for giving those vaccines, we don't know. Who is going to get who? If you want to go give 50,000 people, the number of medical doctors in Nigeria is close to that. If you add army and add politician, that's the end. So where do you get the rest of the vaccine? Unfortunately, even at the level of COVAX, all the approved WHO vaccines, especially two of them now, none of them has been given in Africa. You know, they started rolling out these vaccines 2 months ago.
Right.
None has been given in Africa. And then Africa has not even been able to secure, you know, vaccination. The people, Egypt and Morocco, they're using the Chinese vaccine. Guinea is using this Russian vaccine. But there are a lot of issues concerning those ones. Apart from that, the vaccine is not here. Now, they have done what they call advance purchase agreement.
Yeah.
All this advance world, 40% of the world population, they've bought more than 60% of the vaccine. As of today, all the vaccines that Moderna produced has been bought for this year. That's going to be produced for this year.
You can't buy again.
You can't get any to buy. 94% of Pfizer has been bought, purchased already. So now it becomes a big problem that even some of us that are, vaccine, it's not going to get to you. At what point it will get to you? Okay, now, they secured 900 million doses for Africa or Africa of 1.3 million, that's 30% of African population. They've not rolled it out. Even the money, the $8 billion they're looking to buy the mask, they're not getting it. So now, what are we going to do?
I mean, so what options do we have? When vaccine is looking elusive, it's looking like we're not going to get it anytime soon.
We keep our protocol, you know, those social distancing, hand washing, face mask.
But here's my problem, Dr. Dewey. The anonymous caller said something earlier that she heard it from The guys at the top.
You know, we were just talking about information management.
Yes.
Information management. It should be made so clear. You know, I mean, it's not just, you know, it's nice to put picture people that are covering their nose with face masks and cool. Nice, okay, good. At least that's an aspect.
Yeah.
But the information is evolving. Okay, if you have COVID before, okay, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Remember, I think if I get myself right, one of the governors, you know, Kaduna State governor had COVID twice now.
Yes.
So is that not enough evidence? That should have shown anybody that, listen, the fact that you escape COVID now does not mean that you cannot have
contract COVID again.
And then we are not addressing a lot of doubts surrounding even the vaccine. Vaccines should be the game changer in reality.
In reality.
But there are a lot of doubts. There are a lot of negative experiences.
We'll come to that. Let's speak with Chukwuebuka. He's been on the line for some time. Chukwuebuka, thank you for holding the line.
Sorry, if you are going to pay for my
air. Sorry. Now, God, I beg you. I don't get money, I beg. No vex.
Yes.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Chukwuebuka.
Yeah. I think I'll take it from this angle, from the local government level that's coming to the community. Like, I live in Shomolu. I was once part of the COVID tracers with the WHO.
Wonderful.
Yes, way back, yes. That's before the first lockdown. I know we did a lot, personally and collectively, creating an awareness that has stopped. So in the community, people act like there's nothing happening as regards COVID-19. So if there's an awareness campaign, I know the community I belong to, if there's an awareness campaign, serious one, people will heed to this warning concerning COVID-19 and not behave the way they are doing right now.
No, but Chukwuebuka, can you completely fault the people? Because that's the conversation we're having right now. Government on her own, her handling of the COVID situation, do you think that has improved believability in the existence of COVID?
Not at all, Sharif. I mean, that's what I'm saying, that for example, like we've always argued and talked about on your program concerning COVID-19, about how government has been handling. Government will talk sometimes and then they will do the wrong thing. They are not living by example at all. And it's a problem to Nigerians. But the fact remains that every now and then we talk about this and we talk about people, you know, telling people that it's all about you, your life, and that of your families. Today we have many carriers unknown to many people out of ignorance. So the government, for me, is not really doing enough. I must tell you this.
Right.
The people at the same time should leave government and then take care of themselves. Because even alone in my community, I know how I talk to people to comply. It's all about you. Government doesn't even know you from Adam. You will be saving your life, your family, and then a lot of people if you can comply and take measures. But the good thing is this, Sheriff. Sorry, I'll round up now because of time.
Yeah.
When I'm not driving, I take public transport to and fro, work and everywhere. And recently, I could see some level of compliance.
Okay.
There are times before I've been the boss, I'm the only one who uses face mask and the rest will not use. But these days, I could count about 10 people, 11 people using face mask. So there's some level of compliance as well.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chukwuebuka. Thank you. And apologies for holding the line for that long. Really appreciate your time. Dr. Mibawadu, let's continue a little bit further. Do you think we're ripe again for another lockdown?
No, you can't. Don't let us. I think we're looking at the concept of what we call smart lockdown.
Okay.
We shouldn't, if you lock this place down again, we've seen it, even in England, or riots.
Yeah.
Okay. It won't help. At the end of the day, the outcome may not be palatable. So what we look at is that we must take decisions driven by science and data.
Okay.
Okay, and look at it now. Lagos, Abuja, okay, they're the epicenters of the virus.
Right.
Okay. Then the question we should ask ourselves is that what is happening in Lagos and Abuja that is driving this virus? Okay. Now, if we find that if we have to really stop party completely and make sure we deploy people to ensure that no party happens anywhere within any local government,
right,
so be it. That's a smart, we're locking down an aspect of behavior.
Mm.
If we have to stay in the front of Tejo Show Market or Dumagu Market, for instance, and say, listen, we are putting guards at different corner. Where's your face mask? Put on your face mask. If you don't put on your face mask, we excuse you from this market,
right,
you won't enter.
Right.
You know, we are locking down some
smartly.
Of the, smartly.
Mm.
You know, it's a kind of smart. If you have to say, okay, listen, church, mosque, religious people, we're sorry. Go online.
Okay.
Go online. Mm-hmm. We're locking down that kind of behavior. So we must be able to look at those feeders.
Okay.
Events that actually, you know, make this thing become crazy. Then the other thing is that if you are inside the bus and then somebody is entering the bus, of course, sanitize your hand, okay, put on your face mask, and somebody is watching. I'm saying that, listen, you can't put it down until, you know, you exit or get to your house.
Yeah.
So, and then in the same thing, you are not opening schools, okay? You must be able to do more than those children wearing face masks, because they're going to get involved in lessons.
Exactly.
We're seeing
children.
We're seeing childhood COVID. It's becoming another narrative, you know, all over. So, and then even if they're not manifesting it, they can also give it to people.
Yes, they can.
So that kind of thinking, that kind of smart thinking is what is going to help us. What exactly is happening in Lagos and Abuja? Maybe
that is driving the numbers.
Driving this number. Because if you look at those two locations, you've dealt with like half of the cases we're dealing. So what exactly is happening? Until we put science to it, we won't understand. We'll just be running helter-skelter without, you know, critical thinking.
Let's talk about science, Agatui, as we go. Talk to me about ivermectin. What is this thing I'm hearing about, this drug?
Now, we need to be careful.
Yes, we need to.
Because there is a study. The vice president actually instituted a study on ivermectin to say that, okay, does this help to reduce the severity or even the manifestation of COVID-19? The study is ongoing. I know Professor Ajayi, you know, respected, very brilliant person for me for those days,
right,
from my old school.
Right.
You know, brilliant guy. So, you can, and you look at the US. I know he will do a good job with his team.
Okay.
Let's wait. But there are also encouraging stories from that. But now, what I've observed that when people hear this kind of thing now, what they will do is go and
they will just go and take things.
I'll be swallowing recklessly.
Yeah.
My very good cousin, who's a senior advocate of Nigeria,
right,
he nearly lost his life from this kind of taking things and
self-medication.
Swallowing. I said, why do you do this kind of thing? You know, he was lucky. So it's very key. We should know that drugs interaction occur.
Yeah.
That body is not the same. If you want to take anything, seek a counsel from your doctor at least now.
Right.
You'll be able to guide you. If there are problems, they'll be able to tell you what to do. So Nigeria is a country whereby everybody's a specialist in everything.
Right.
Look at the kind of thing that is happening. You are a governor of a state. You are the head of a church. You are a senator. You came on air, you know, pushing
conspiracy
theories, saying all sorts of things. That you have huge followers, and there's nobody that can tell you. And let me repeat this on air for everybody.
Yeah,
they should know that the likes of Kogi State Governor is not speaking for the government. Our government should actually let everybody know, because if you put any policy in place to fight that COVID-19 is in his state,
right,
the guy will frustrate it because he doesn't believe in it. He and that is, and then
he's been frustrating it, let's be very clear.
A lot of people,
right,
a lot of people,
right,
that is not conduct, you know, that is, you know, that is worth nothing in somebody holding a public.
Let's speak with Gbenga, Dr. Tui. Gbenga is here from Gbagada. Gbenga, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you.
Yeah, my contribution to the discussion that is ongoing now is that the government is not even encouraging people to believe that this COVID is real. Otherwise, why can't the Minister of Health or the Boss Mustafa's committee stop this NIM thing that's going on? If the head of the NIM he's not believing that this COVID is real.
Yeah.
Is the Minister of Health not believing that this thing is real?
Mm.
Is the boss Mustafa something that is telling us this thing is alarming, it's growing at a rapid rate? Can't they stop this NIN? Is this NIN not even contributory to the alarming, to the growth of this COVID?
Mm.
That's my contribution.
Thank you, Gwenga, for your contribution. And well noted. You mentioned it earlier, Dr. Tui, about some super spreader policies of the government, which is, of course, we cannot rule out the NIN registration as being part of some of those super spreaders. But we need to go now, Dr. Tui. I will not ask you, what would you say to the government in handling COVID situation going forward?
If government needs to spend more money, they should spend it more on information management. And they should devolve the information management to the smallest unit as possible and make it dynamic.
Mm.
That is the cheapest in this spectrum. That is the cheapest thing they can do. They must be ready to engage people at the local and the smallest unit of the society, you know, to ensure and help them to comply with the COVID-19. And then to all of us, you know, don't be in a hurry to leave the service of the earth. You have all many years to spend underground. What are you burning?
Why are you in a hurry to leave the surface of the earth?
Stay on the surface as long as possible. If it means taking some responsibility about your life, do check your health. Obey those things. Why are you running to? So don't rush
That's
to go heavy. Underground. Don't rush to go underground.
It's not
tidy over there.
Doctor, you know what we're gonna do? You're gonna join me again if you will, if you can. If you oblige me, next week, let's talk about those myths and break those myths down so we can, you know, address this head on the show. Thank you so much, Dr. Tui Mebawande.
Sharif, you're a brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming around, Dr. Tui.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right, Lagos, there you go. We've done a bit for today in addressing some of the issues that affect you and me. So I have to go now, but I'll be back on your radio tomorrow at 5. You can follow me on Twitter at Sharif Quadri, on Instagram at Sharif Quadri, and on LinkedIn at Sharif Quadri. Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu is next here on Nigeria Info. Good morning to you.
A multinational company.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.